What is marketing? Who invented it? Why is marketing called marketing? How can you get into marketing? How do you know if marketing has worked? And is marketing evil?
Yes.
Oi! What are some of the key terms used in marketing and what do they mean? These are just some of the questions I'll be covering in this episode. So join me as we discover what is marketing.
Let's find out. The marketing game is about to change up. Yeah. Dropping something new and it's major. Everything that you need is right here. I'm talking marketing made clear. Go. Helping you to elevate from beginner to a pro. Ain't a better way. Marketing made clear. It's showtime. Wanna see you win. Wanna see you shine. I love myself a bit of marketing.
Welcome to Marketing Made Clear. I'm your host, Will Green, and I'm joined by my assistant, Marketing Artificial Intelligence Technology, otherwise known as MATE.
Yo, daddy-o.
My aim, as always, is to make marketing clear, and each episode will dive into a specific topic. Today's will be quite a broad stroke to cover off what we actually mean when we're talking about marketing. This is probably a great episode for someone looking to get into marketing or someone new to marketing, but maybe not going to break any new ground for experienced marketers. Anyway, what is marketing? Definitions are boring. Like, when do you ever bring up the definition of anything unless it's in an argument? But I guess you can't really start to answer the question of what is marketing without at least considering the definition. So to make it a bit more fun, I've put together a little section that I like to call definitions.
Defining definitions.
Definitions are concise explanations or descriptions that aim to clarify the meaning of a word, term, concept, or idea. They serve as linguistic guidelines, providing context and understanding within a language.
Definitions.
In a nice little nutshell, the Oxford Dictionary defines marketing as the activity of presenting, advertising, and selling a company's products in the best possible way. And I suppose that'd sum it up if it wasn't for the fact that that's a completely operational focus on marketing. Say, it completely evades the role marketing plays in research, strategy, product development, customer development, and isn't selling a sales job. Shame on you, Oxford. So Google, what do you have for me? The activity or business of promoting and selling products or services, including market research and advertising. I'm disappointed in you, Google. A little bit better than Oxford, but it sounds like it was written by someone in HR or supply chain, you know, one of those types. Maybe that's the problem. We need a definition written by an actual marketer. So, I've been a member of the CIM, the Chartered Institute of Marketers, for many years. Over a decade, in fact. So surely they've got this. Marketing is the management process responsible for identifying, anticipating, and satisfying consumer requirements profitably. Okay, I feel like we're starting to get somewhere. But it's not perfect, but it's not bad. But let me bring in the big man himself, Big Phil, Dr. Philip Kotler. If you don't know who Dr. Philip Kotler is, let me just give you a quick overview.
In the field of marketing, Philip Kotler has distinguished himself on many levels. He is an innovative thought leader, a revered educator, an accomplished author of over 50 books, well-traveled speaker, social activist, and trusted consultant to the world's most recognized corporate brands. Mr. Kotler is the S.C. Johnson & Son Distinguished Professor of International Marketing at the Kellogg School of Management in Northwestern University, and the author of Marketing Management in 1967, now in its 14th edition, and considered to be the definitive treatment in the discipline, dubbed the Marketing Guru, and the most influential marketer of all time. Dr. Kotler has secured standing as one of the great business thinkers of the past century.
Just in case you're wondering, I stole that text from his LinkedIn profile, but this guy is no joke. This is the kind of marketing leader I fanboy about, and he defined marketing as the science and art of exploring, creating, and delivering value to satisfy the needs of a target market at a profit. Marketing identifies unfulfilled needs and desires. It defines, measures, and quantifies the size of the identified market and the profit potential. It pinpoints which segments the company is capable of serving best, and it designs and promotes the appropriate products and services.
Nailed it.
But there's a problem, And here's probably the first bump in the road when it comes to answering the big question. Who is asking the question? I like Kotler's definition because it's very similar to my perspective. For instance, in my job, I'm a sales and marketing director. So for me, marketing is all about generating sales, generating demand for the product or engaging with customers, setting the right expectation, keeping our activity profitable but keeping customers satisfied. Obviously, lots of other areas like sustainability, budgetary and resource concerns, but who wants a simple life, right? Outside my job, I'm a customer for all sorts of products and services, so my perspective is completely different. The marketing activities I see either tell me that I want the product or that it's not for me. That sets the expectation. Marketing can excite me, it can make me laugh, it often makes me angry. I like certain companies' adverts, whereas other companies' adverts will piss me off. Something most commonly seen in direct marketing and telemarketing. But when it's done properly, it can make me laugh or make me like a company more. But that's just two perspectives. When it comes to marketing, there are all sorts of parties, and we call them stakeholders. But we'll come back to that. Firstly, I want to have a look at trends. Trends in marketing are so important. And in this section, I'm going to take a look at how trends have changed for the topic of the episode.
Oh my God, that is so trendy. I love it.
Activating trends.
Trends now online. Welcome, Mr. Green.
So if you don't know, Google Trends is a great free platform that allows you to put various search terms in, and it will show you the volume of searches in a graph placed against each other. So because this is such a broad topic, I thought I'd explore typical company department names. So I've used marketing jobs, sales jobs, supply chain jobs, HR jobs, and IT jobs. And I should say, all of this info is just based on the UK. The trend goes back as far as 2004, because that's as far back as you can get on Google Trends. And at that stage, IT jobs were dominant, which is not surprising. But it had around four times more searches than marketing or sales. In 2004, comparatively, pretty much nobody was searching for jobs in supply chain, surprise, surprise. But in the space of 3 years, that level of search declines to the point where it's around double the amount of searches for marketing or sales. Then by 2010, interest in IT jobs had come right down, so that it was only marginally above sales. It had really continued to slowly decline until about 2019, where it picked up again. So marketing and sales, meanwhile, they just stay at a pretty consistent level while IT has come down. At the same time, our little friends in supply chain, just tiny little ripple there. So as marketing indexes at around the 25 to 30 mark, out of 100 that is, supply chain is at index of 1. Then 2010 to 2015, we see things stabilise with a slight decline in IT. Then in 2010 to 2015, we see things stabilise with a slight decline in IT and sales jobs and a slight increase in marketing and HR jobs. So everything then declines 2015 to about 2019. So really across the board, a lot less people are searching for jobs. And at the point of COVID, we see a huge decrease in searches for sales and marketing, while IT is pretty steady. Supply chain, still flatlining. Then really in the last couple of years, we see the trends for all jobs increasing. Marketing actually overtakes sales and leaves HR behind. We even see a slight increase in supply chain. Wow. And long may that continue. So really in summary, so we've seen a pretty consistent demand for marketing jobs in all industries. And that goes right back to 2004. It has increased, but what we don't see is the specialism jobs that people are searching for in marketing. And that's another story.
I love it.
So before we got into trends, we had just reached the topic of stakeholders.
I flipping love steak.
Stakeholders include customers, communities, employees, management, investors, competitors, and all sorts of other groups. It's basically anyone that has any interest in a product or a service that's being marketed. When it comes to marketing for any given company, charity, product, service, or trip to space, perspective is key. Think, who is asking the question? If you ask my buddy and colleague Chris, who has made some poor life choices and ended up in supply chain, he would say,
"Nah, don't worry about all that marketing nonsense, mate. That's just unicorns and fairies."
But that's okay, because we have to remember, as marketers, some opinions just don't matter. And Chris works in supply chain. That may well be one of those opinions. Sorry, Chris, love you really. But seriously, that's just his perspective. And before I'm lynched by a gaggle of supply chainers, or whatever you guys are called, chainers, it's just a bit of banter. I know that you guys do a difficult job, the perfect storm and T-shaped people and all that, but respect marketing.
Respect my authority.
But we're here to learn marketing. So let's look at what marketing is from a marketer's perspective. And I'm a marketer.
Hear me roar.
Wait a sec. I think I just realised that I sound like Satan from the South Park movie. You know...
Come here, Saddam.
Anyway, from a marketing perspective, marketing is the process of creating, communicating, developing, refining, delivering, and exchanging offerings that have value for customers, clients, partners, and society at large. It involves understanding customer needs and wants, developing products and services to meet those needs, determining the most effective ways to reach and engage with the target audience, and ultimately persuading them to choose your offerings over your competitors. That customer decision at a base level could be because they've never heard of your product before, they didn't know you existed, they knew you existed but didn't think you had anything relevant to them. But at a more advanced level, you might have a perfect product for the consumer, but they perceive competitors as offering a better product, simply because their marketing activities have done a better job at highlighting the things that the product has that they actually care about. Sometimes we call these USPs, unique selling points, but sometimes they're not unique. Good marketing can create something called brand preference, and that might just come down to the nicer packaging.
Ooh, shiny.
Or it might come down to something that just seems cooler, more modern, or even more nostalgic. Sometimes consumers buy things rationally, and us marketers just focus on effectively communicating the specifications or attributes, but other times consumers are driven more emotionally. And that's where marketers have to focus on how marketing makes people feel. But marketing encompasses a wide range of activities, including product, price, place, promotion, people, processes, and physical evidence. In fact, all these points are known as the 7 P's. This is something that basic marketers live for, but please, if you're going to use models like the 7 P's, understand their limitation. The 7 P's will help you think about many aspects of marketing, but they don't cover everything. And you don't necessarily need to consider every single one of these. They don't offer a hierarchy, so one isn't necessarily more important than the other in all times, but it will be like that. You have to work out what aspects of marketing are going to be most important to your target market. Remember, marketing's primary goal is to generate demand for products or services and drive profitable customer action sustainably, as in over the long term. Effective marketing involves a deep understanding of consumer behavior, market dynamics, and the competitive landscape. This is why sometimes smaller businesses can do a better job than larger ones. Bigger companies get disconnected from their customers and find themselves marketing products and services based on things consumers just don't care about, or they used to care about, but they don't care about it anymore. Customer demands change, so products or the way that they're presented to customers also has to change. So to keep up with this, it requires strategic thinking, some creativity, research, and of course data analysis, and the ability to adapt to changing market conditions. Adapt or die. It's like our old pal Charlie Darwin says. It is not the most intellectual of the species that survives. It is not the strongest that survives. But the species that survives is the one that is able to best adapt and adjust to the changing environment in which it finds itself. Like I said, adapt or die. In today's digital age, marketing often involves leveraging technology and online platforms to reach and engage with audiences across various channels, such as social media, search engines, email, and mobile apps. But you know, just keep on doing what you've always done. You do you and all that.
What is marketing from an academic perspective?
You've been a bit quiet. That's a good question, though. Well, from an academic perspective, marketing is both an art and a science. What makes it fascinating is that at university, you can actually study marketing as a BA or an MA. So that's a Bachelor or Master of the Arts. But you can also study it as a BSc or MSc, which is a Bachelor or Master's of Science. And both are correct. But the field of marketing is so vast that these degrees can focus on just one area. A marketing BA, or MA, involves more of an emphasis on humanities than a focus on business and operational marketing, whereas a marketing BSc or MSc focuses more on the scientific, mathematical, analytical and technological aspects of the subject. But what's the end goal? Either way, you're going to want to study a degree to be able to put that training into practice. And just while we're on the topic, this does make me think of another question. Do you need to go to university to be a marketer? Well, the short answer is no. You don't necessarily need to go to university to become a marketer. While a formal education can provide knowledge and skills that are relevant to marketing, there are other ways to get into marketing. So here's five for you right now.
Yeah.
Number one would be self-education. You can learn marketing through self-study by reading books, articles on online resources, stuff like that, taking online courses and watching educational videos. You could even listen to podcasts like Marketing Made Clear, which will hopefully give you a good start or give you a good head start. There are many free and paid resources available that will cover various aspects of marketing, so fill your boots. Number two is online courses and certifications. There are many reputable online platforms that offer courses and certifications in marketing disciplines. So these are far more widespread in digital fields like Google, Facebook, HubSpot, LinkedIn and other platforms. They all have their online training channels and you can earn their certifications, which look good when applying for jobs. I've done a few myself and I do think that they're really good. I've recommended them to a lot of people, especially people that are just looking to get into marketing or digital marketing. So that is probably one of the biggest ones I'd recommend. Number three would be internships and entry-level positions. You can start gaining practical experience by applying for internships or entry-level positions in marketing or agencies. We'll get onto entry-level positions in a sec. Hands-on experience working on real marketing projects can be invaluable, and it will develop your skills and understanding of the kind of marketing principles and the practical side of it as well. But entry-level positions will generally require some training, so you'd probably want to start building on your skill set through self-education or online courses to give yourself the best possible chance of landing a role like that. I think it's quite unlikely to expect to be just hired for a role that requires some specialism without any kind of training or doing anything yourself. So number four is probably better suited to content-based marketing, like copywriting, video editing, or aspects that require some design, but portfolio development. So showcase your marketing skills by working on personal projects, volunteering or freelancing, and build up a strong portfolio of marketing work that you can demonstrate to show your capabilities to potential employers or clients or something like that. In fact, this is something I've really engaged in. So many years ago, I felt the need to up my game on websites and web design. So the first thing I did is create my own pet website.
No way.
Like a real pet website. Witchpet.com was a website that was geared up to give any potential pet owners advice on how much any given animal would take to look after. So it's promoting responsible pet ownership, really. And this was about 15 years ago now. I had to learn all the technical aspects of setting a website up, including buying and setting up a domain, using design templates, hosting, and all the rest. It stood me in good stead when I was having these conversations later with developers. I then went on to study a foundation in front-end development with Udemy, and I would have conversations with our business website developers, all in the name of increasing my capabilities when it came to websites. So I do practice what I preach.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But on to number five.
Five.
And number five is really something that I feel you should be doing anyway, which is networking and mentorship. So building relationships, this is. If you can build relationships with experienced marketers and industry professionals, it can provide more valuable insight, guidance and opportunity. But I still think that you need the other things. You need to do that training. You need to actually build your skill set. But networking through industry events, online communities, social media platforms, you can learn from others and stay updated on industry trends. I've been a mentor and I've been a mentee or manatee, whatever it is.
Oh.
I think that's the right word. But it's great, honestly. As a mentor, you help solidify your knowledge, sometimes broadening your understanding. And as a mentee, you can learn from somebody that has the experience and practical know-how. And they will guide you. And I think a good mentor will also guide you to the kind of training that you can be doing by yourself to grow your skill set. Any of these will help you, of course, even if you do have a university degree. You're really looking to stand out. It's such a competitive world out there. So marketing jobs often get hundreds or thousands of applicants, so making yourself stand out is extremely important. You just want to keep adding strings to your bow. Even if you get that first marketing job, you still want to keep developing. Marketing is changing all the time, so you really need to keep ahead. So, in summary, while a university degree in marketing or a related field can be beneficial and may open up kind of career opportunities to you, practical experience, self-education, and a strong portfolio can also play a significant role in landing and advancing your career in marketing. Ultimately, what matters is a combination of the relevant skills, knowledge, creativity, adaptability, and a passion for marketing. On a personal level, I have to say that for me, going to university was a game changer. I didn't enjoy school, I didn't enjoy college, but I loved uni. And now I've studied 3 degrees, a Bachelor of the Arts, a Master of the Arts in Marketing Management, and a Master's in Business Administration. And it coincided with a proper dyslexia diagnosis that I got at university. And I've also been to countless talks, short courses, seminars, and engaging in continuous personal development, or CPD. But everyone's different, and that's just me. So, if you do want to go to uni, the top 5 universities according to the Complete University Guide are Bath, City, so University of London, Durham, Lancaster and Leeds. But really special mentions to Exeter, Loughborough, Bristol and Southampton though. Each university has their own set of entry requirements, so really you need to do your research and know what you need to get into those unis. I didn't go to any of those universities, and I haven't been to any of them apart from the University of Southampton, so I can't personally give my opinion on any of them. What I would do, if I was looking at a degree, I'd look at the modules to see if they're suited to the areas I wanted to improve on, or the areas I'm most interested in. So another thing I found on the Complete University Guide was the typical modules that you find for different courses. And these included the following 9 modules. Consumer Brand Relationship. So basically branding, consumer psychology, and I love this.
I love it.
So consumer behavior is something I find fascinating. I think that getting a grounding in this early would be really worthwhile. Then data insight for business decisions. Yep, love this also. I like that this is the scientific side. Then digital marketing. If you're going to specialize, then that's the way to go. Global marketing. Yep, nice. Marketing communications. So that's quite broad, but it probably includes some PR, which is really good to know. Principles of management. I imagine that this is the widest sphere of management. It's very important for progression, which we're coming on to. Social marketing. And I imagine this includes social media marketing as well, but social is obviously groups of people. So cultures and countercultures. So social media, I do sometimes wonder who will actually do the teaching on that subject. The professor or the students. I mean, but I'd hope that the subject like that covers the strategy, top level and the reasons for social media. I think it's easy to get bogged down on the channel itself. But I think it would be good to also show good examples of social media or cross-media campaigns. Anyway, the last one is understanding the business and economic environment. Again, wide, but knowing some of the roles that marketing plays in the wider environment and understanding the business function is very useful. What I would say is I haven't seen a mention of strategy here, but I'd really hope that I'd see it covered in, I don't know, maybe marketing communications or the understanding of the business environment. So going back on the job front, according to Indeed, the job titles in the field of marketing vary greatly due to the broad industry of a range of hierarchies. They list 11 examples of job titles, which include marketing assistant, brand ambassador, marketing manager, product marketing manager, public relations specialist, communications manager, content marketing specialist, SEO specialist, market research analyst, social media contributor, and digital marketing manager. So to break that down, this can get confusing. Within marketing, you have multiple levels of hierarchy. Typically, you have your entry level, like an assistant, executive, which is not to be confused with an executive director, or possibly a coordinator or junior marketing specialist. And the next level is an individual contributor, a specialist, a team leader, or maybe a supervisor. And the next level is a manager, so like a marketing or digital marketing manager, or communications manager, or product marketing manager. Add senior to any of these roles to really reflect some additional seniority to the business. The next level, a director, a sales and marketing director, or just marketing director, but even a head of marketing role can be seen as a similar standing to a director. The next level.
Welcome to the C-suite.
We get chief marketing officers, or CMOs for short. You could argue that a vice president of marketing sits here too, but here in the UK, that's not quite as popular as in the US. Finally, you have the tippity-top, the chairperson, and the board of directors. But every company is different, and some follow regional structures, flat or linear structures, so there's no set rule here. So I think it's worth also adding that there's many specialisms within marketing, including but not limited to market research, content marketing, which can subspecialise in particular publishing platforms or channels. So I'm thinking, you know, like a Twitter expert or a social media expert as a more general one. Search engine marketing, so SEO focused, but that can include advertising or search engines, something we used to call PPC marketing or pay-per-click marketing. But this is kind of evolved into more of a cost per acquisition or CPA type model. So it's a bit of a tangent, but PPC, pay-per-click, and CPA, cost per acquisition, is basically moving from paying for every click on your advert, regardless of whether people buy something or, you know, do anything or subscribe or something like that, to actually just paying when you make a sale. And this has only come about through really good integration with Google and websites, and there's a lot more to talk about on that subject, so we'll come back to that at some point. Another specialism would be video marketing. It's arguably part of content marketing, but specializing in videos for adverts, YouTube, embedding them on websites or publishing on social media. Direct marketing, which would usually be postal, but this could include people coming to your door or something like that. Database marketing. We talked about social media marketing, influencer marketing, guerrilla marketing. That's like promotional displays, graffiti, billboard style, kind of flash mob, stuff like that. And then event marketing and product marketing. But there's so many different areas to specialize in. So I think we'll just come back to that in separate episodes when we cover a bit more kind of in-depth stuff. The structures in large multinationals will, of course, differ from smaller companies. Startups are unlikely to have many different levels, and you'll find people that look after all of the marketing for the company, as well as other functions too. Then for every level of the hierarchy, you can usually attach any of the fields of discipline for marketing. The widest forms could be commercial, sales and marketing, or anything that encompasses marketing with other areas, so sales and marketing manager. The most common roles tend to be marketing roles, like marketing coordinator or marketing manager. And really, you can go as specialised as you like. For instance, digital marketing manager, which is part of marketing, social media manager, which is part of marketing or digital marketing, or Facebook or TikTok manager. It all depends on the company and the company's priorities, obviously, because that will determine how much time and resource they will devote to a channel or activity. And of course, in marketing, you get internal roles within the company as well as roles in an agency itself. But I'm trying to make things clearer, not more complex. This is probably a good place to take a breather. We've covered a lot already. Definitions, Kotler, stakeholders, the godforsaken 7 Ps, a bit of marketing at university and a bit of marketing as a career. But there are many places we could go to now. There's so many exciting topics of discussion, like technology, how marketing has changed through the years, good versions of marketing and how marketing can be done badly. But this podcast is in its infancy, and if we're going to explore these topics, let's do it properly, in dedicated episodes where I can take you down the rabbit holes of specialist marketing, or possibly some fairly strange places you never thought a marketing podcast could go. We'll see. So let's answer some of the main questions when it comes to marketing. Far away, mate.
Okay, cowboy. Who invented marketing?
Marketing, in its modern form, has evolved over many centuries, and it doesn't have a single inventor. Instead, it's been shaped by various individuals, ideas, and historical developments over time. The concept of marketing can be traced back to ancient civilizations, where trade barter systems existed. However, modern marketing, as we know it today, began to take shape during the Industrial Revolution in the 18th and 19th centuries. Don't worry, I'll be doing an episode on the history of marketing in this season, so if you can hold on to that thought, I'll give you the full answer then.
Okay.
But obviously, one of the key figures in the early development of modern marketing was Philip Kotler, often referred to as the father of marketing. Like his LinkedIn profile says, Kotler is a renowned economist and marketing professor who has authored numerous books and articles that have significantly influenced the field of marketing. But there are several other marketing pioneers and contributors to the field of marketing, including, but not limited to, Walter Dill Scott, known for his work in applied psychology and advertising and marketing. John Wanamaker, adept retailer who's often credited with the famous quote,
"Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. The trouble is I don't know which half."
And that's right, usually. Edward Bernays, often referred to as the father of public relations. Bernays, not spelt the same as the source, applied psychological principles to shape public opinion and behaviour, which had a profound impact on marketing strategies. And David Ogilvy, an influential figure in the advertising industry. Ogilvy emphasised the importance of research and consumer insights in advertising campaigns. But marketing is a continuously evolving discipline shaped by contributions from numerous individuals, theories and practices throughout history. You can argue that other people like Sigmund Freud, Steve Jobs, Abraham Maslow, Jeff Bezos have all significantly impacted marketing in their own way. It all depends if you're talking about the field of marketing thought or marketing practice. I should probably explain that.
Let's find out.
So what is the difference between the field of marketing thought and marketing practice? So marketing encompasses both marketing thought and marketing practice, but they represent different aspects of the discipline. Marketing thought refers to the theoretical framework, concepts, principles, and ideas that form the foundation of marketing as an academic discipline. It involves the study and development of theories, models, frameworks that explain consumer behavior, market dynamics, marketing strategies, and the role of marketing in organization and society. Marketing thought is often driven by academic research, scholarly publications, and intellectual discourse within the marketing community. It aims to advance our understanding of marketing concepts and contribute to the body of knowledge in the field. Marketing practice is the doing, the practical side. Marketing practice refers to the application of marketing principles, strategies, and tactics in real-world business settings. It involves the practical implementation of marketing strategies to achieve business objectives such as increasing sales, expanding market share, building brand awareness, or enhancing customer satisfaction. Marketing practitioners such as marketers, advertisers, brand managers, and sales professionals use various tools and techniques to execute marketing plans and campaigns. Marketing practice is driven by market research, consumer insights, competitive analysis, and development of marketing strategies tailored to the needs and preferences of target audiences. Yeah, so in summary, marketing thought focuses on the theoretical underpinnings and conceptual frameworks of marketing, while marketing practice involves the practical application of marketing strategies and tactics to achieve business goals. Both are essential components of the broader field of marketing, and learning both will contribute to marketers' capability and effectiveness.
Oh, I have a question, Saddam.
Not Saddam, but I will answer your question.
Is marketing evil?
Ah, come on, mate. Marketing itself is not inherently evil. If you think of it as a tool or practice used by individuals, organisations and businesses to communicate the value of products, services or ideas to consumers, like any tool, its impact depends on how it's wielded and the intentions behind its use.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Marketing can be used for both ethical and unethical purposes. Ethical marketing focuses on providing accurate information, meeting consumer needs and building long-term relationships based on trust and transparency. On the other hand, unethical marketing may involve deceptive practices, manipulation, exploitation, or promoting harmful products. And it's the unethical practices that give marketers a bad name, and I will go into that on other episodes. Some criticisms of marketing come from instances of unethical behaviour, such as misleading advertising, targeting vulnerable populations, or promoting products that are harmful to individuals or society. And if you're on my podcast to learn marketing to do that, seriously, do us all a favour, find a mirror, take a long, hard look at yourself, think about what life choices have led you to this point, and if you're still set on taking that dark path, headbutt the mirror as hard as you possibly can. Like, try and put your head through the mirror, even, like, through the wall. And if that doesn't cure you, maybe you could have a career in supply chain. Ultimately, the ethicality of marketing depends on factors such as honesty, transparency, respect for consumer rights, and consideration of societal impact. When practiced responsibly, marketing can be a valuable tool for connecting consumers with products and services that genuinely meet their needs and preferences.
I have a question.
All right, go on then.
Do marketers have souls?
Do marketers have souls? Coming from a soulless piece of artificial intelligence, I'm not glorifying that with an answer.
Then let me answer that for you. Do marketers have souls? That's a bit like asking if a cat has a favorite PowerPoint presentation. Some might argue they do. Buried somewhere deep within all those market research reports and advertising campaigns. Others might say their souls were traded for a lifetime supply of coffee and a never-ending queue of deadlines. Either way, let's just say marketers navigate the fine line between persuasive charm and the occasional guilt trip with a dash of creativity and a pinch of data analysis.
Thanks for that, mate. On a more serious question, as marketers, we are and should be challenged to justify our marketing spend. This goes hand in hand with the question I asked earlier. How do we know if marketing has worked? Well, this is really part and parcel of being a marketer, but it comes with a huge challenge. Remember that quote by John Wanamaker? Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. The trouble is I don't know what half. But that quote, it dates back to 1919, like over 100 years ago. 50 years before the first personal computers, 40 years before the electric calculator. And for a long time, Wanamaker's quote was widely used by marketers. Not necessarily as a get-out-of-jail-free card, but to emphasise the difficulty in measuring marketing effectiveness. But since the late 90s, consumers have moved towards purchasing online, and we do have a lot more tricks and tools to measure marketing effectiveness. It's not 100%, but it gives us a good indication as to whether a campaign is proving effective. Some platforms are better than others, especially when you're talking about e-commerce. Like with Google Ads and Facebook Ads, everything is traceable. You can measure clicks on the advert and conversions, usually a sale, sign-up or subscription. Google in particular claim an 800% return on investment on advertising spend. That's an eightfold return on investment. But if we're talking about other areas of marketing, particularly content-related, or a campaign that might be more targeted at increasing brand awareness, ROI will be measured in other terms, not necessarily financially. But there's a hot debate here, really. Many experienced marketers would be screaming at me for using the term increasing brand awareness. And the main criticism of this is that people are not measuring current brand awareness before conducting a brand awareness campaign. That means that after the campaign, if they measured the success of the campaign, they have nothing to compare it to. But that's a whole different conversation. And before I get put in the marketing sin bin, this comes back to what are the objectives of the campaign? Under the umbrella term of brand awareness, it may be about raising awareness with a particular group of consumers, or it might be getting existing customers to read an article that has been written to increase brand loyalty. The possibilities are literally endless. We'll look at ROI in another episode. It's a huge topic, and this is definitely not a deep dive on that. But I just want to say that strategy plays a big part here too. And something I'll cover this season is marketing strategy. I like to visualise marketing strategy as a funnel. In fact, it's quite a common way to visualise it. But the idea is that consumers move through the funnel from learning about your company to engaging with your company in some way, building up on purchasing intent, finally converting, so buying or subscribing, and then they go on to repeat purchase. Why I'm bringing this up is because marketing activities that you use at each stage will be geared towards a specific goal. So you should measure the success of that marketing activity in the context of its objective. Okay. One last question that I'd like to cover is, why is marketing called marketing? And this is quite an interesting one. The term marketing originates from the Latin word mercatus.
Mercatus.
Which means marketplace or trade. Over time, this has evolved into the old French word marchetting.
Marketing.
Which referred to the activities involved in buying and selling goods in a market. The term marketing, as we know it today, again comes from around the 19th, 20th century, alongside the Industrial Revolution. The concept of marketing became associated with the systematic approach to understanding consumer needs, identifying target markets, developing products or services to meet those needs, and promoting them through various channels to generate sales and achieve business objectives. The term marketing emerged as a convenient label to describe the multifaceted process of promoting and selling goods and services in the marketplace. Overall, marketing as a term reflects the fundamental concept of creating, communicating, delivering, and exchanging value of customers in order to satisfy their needs and achieve organizational goals.
Wow!
And now, I'd like to introduce a section I'd like to include in my podcast called Haters and Heroes.
Haters gonna hate, but you are a goddamn hero.
Haters and Heroes.
When researching each episode, I come across all sorts of weird and wonderful comments, and I wanted to create a section to share these with you. So I was looking at a video, What is Marketing in 3 Minutes? By Shane Hummus. Apparently no relation to the chickpea-based dip. I just love the positive comment from Kings U2U, who says,
"The best marketing is unpredictable marketing. People love a thriller. Never been the plain Jane type. Life is meant to be lived."
I love that from Kings U2. That's like, you know what? I'm a marketer. I'm free. I'm doing my thing and living my best life. Not like these supply chain chumps. Plain Jane, no brain fools. A big shout out to Kings U2U. On a similar video, and this is on YouTube, obviously, Zoy in Fokod, a marketer maybe from Russia, I think, it says, I don't know.
"Marketing is not complex, blah, blah, blah. It is relationship between customers and buyers, dot."
Holy cow, Zoy. Where were you earlier when we were trying to define marketing? I hope you do a podcast one day. I will definitely subscribe, and I want to listen to your 90-second episodes. Keep it real, man. Again, on YouTube, Chin Gracia says, "Whoever's reading this, you'll be successful someday. Just keep on pushing like I am." Ah, that's nice, Chin Gracia. Keep spreading the love. And then on Twitter or X or the land of the depraved, as I like to call it, Lee Grunnell says,
"I saw something on LinkedIn saying that account-based marketing evolved to become account-based engagement. Sometimes I hate marketers so much."
Wow. Lee, careful where you go pointing that prejudiced, withered little finger of yours. This sounds like an HR issue to me. Leave us out of this. Demetrius V. Vaginus, I like that better. He writes, "I hate marketing, I hate marketing, I hate marketing." He posts that 16 times. That's a lot of hate, Demetrius. Are you okay, hun? The thing is, I looked at your publicly accessible Twitter profile before anyone mutters GDPR to me. And you, sir, have spent your life studying politics.
"I'm the president of the United States. I'm not the president of other countries."
With a PhD and MSc in politics. Politics. And you say you hate marketers? Pot kettle black, mate.
They want to take your Second Amendment away. You know that, right? You have nobody guarding your potatoes.
And finally, ruling council posts, "Marketing 101, marketing fail, don't use another company's logo." With a photo of a sandwich shop, I'm not sure where, but the logo is basically a rip-off of Pornhub, but changed to Sandwich Hub. But then they've included a subtitle below the sign saying, "Sandwich that'll make you come." C-O-M-E, obviously. Wow. Yeah, you know, that's a little bit naughty on many, many levels, Sandwich Hub.
Shut your nasty little face!
Hang your head in shame. So well done, ruling council, for calling that one out. But that's it for Haters and Heroes.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
Well, that's it. Thanks for joining me, my first full episode. I hope this has got you in the mood to learn a little bit more marketing. In the next episode, we'll be covering marketing strategy. I think it will help the overall flow with the podcast to stay on the top level early on. And if you'd like to support the podcast, please do subscribe and check out my website, which is marketingmadeclear.com. If you'd like to suggest any topics, correct anything I messed up, compliment me, or send a lovely bit of hate mail, email info@marketingmadeclear.com. Please follow Marketing Made Clear on Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Much love and good night.
Nice. Helping you to elevate from beginner to a pro, ain't a better way. Marketing Made Clear, it's showtime. Wanna see you win, wanna see you shine.
Let's go. I wish science agreed with you.
Hey, well, I don't think science knows, actually.